Oh, hey folks, this is Rich Outfield, and this is sort of a Rich Outcast. Usually, well, in every other case, it's always been in the car. I've been driving somewhere, and I recorded it on the way, and this week I had to work that night, so, oh, plus Big was out of town, so we couldn't have gotten together anyway, so it doesn't matter. But today's my day off. I've got to be back at work again tomorrow. And I've got a laundry list of things that I need to do. Only a few hours to do them in. And, you know, I have a lot of deadlines, some of which have already passed. There are a couple of books whose deadlines have come and gone that I don't even think about because I just frankly don't care. And, you know, that maybe that makes me an a-hole, but it's just, sorry, you know, Marshall Latham was saying the other day that Tim Pratt gets what he considers grocery money from the books that get put on Audible in audio form, and he gets, you know, some of the royalties when somebody buys them. And so I think about, okay, well, what do I call the money I get from Audible? If Tim Pratt, who is a well-known author, gets grocery money, maybe mine is Nickelcade money? Maybe mine is handout to the homeless money? But anyhow, I made some commitments, and I, you know, a man's word should be his bond, but sorry, you know, when you have a job that actually pays money, and then you have stuff that you enjoy doing, like I do with Big Anklevich, it's just so hard to care about this stuff. But because, so I guess that was a roundabout way of me saying, I just started this thing recording while I'm doing something else, while I'm doing actual money work. And the other thing I have to do today is mow the lawn, which is fine. I don't mind mowing the lawn. It only ever takes like 20 minutes. And I don't mind being out in the sun. The only thing I hate about mowing the lawn is when you have to empty the grass catcher, the basket. For some reason, that really irritates my nose and my eyes. Just all this, the grass. I almost said filth. I don't know that it's technically filth. But anyhow, what I'm trying to do is these two things at once, is talk and work at the same time. And it's not working because I keep pausing to concentrate on what I'm saying to you. When I'm driving, you can just tune out driving. You know, a lot of people drive like 3/4 of the way asleep or 3/4 of the way intoxicated, and they do fine. I don't think there's anything against the law there.
That was a joke.
But the easiest thing would be to talk while I'm mowing the lawn, because mowing the lawn is very simple to, very similar to driving. You know, you can turn your mind down, I almost said off, and just mow. And so a lot of times I'll think about story ideas, or I'll think about, well, just things that I would do if I weren't mowing the lawn. But the lawnmower is so dang loud, you wouldn't be able to hear anything on this podcast. And so I won't do that, but I will talk for the next 5 or 6 minutes. Another thing, I was going to blog today. Last week I took my nephew out shopping, and we went to like the toy store, and we went to Walmart and stuff. And I kept meaning to blog about it, because from time to time I'll have these babysitter of the year posts that I do on my blog. And I find them amusing. I don't care if you don't. And every once in a while, I'll have something happen. I'll be like, oh, I ought to do a blog post about that. And I haven't had time. And I wanted to do it today. But I thought, you know, this is going to be like a half hour to type this blog thing. And I don't have the time today. And then tomorrow I'm going to be at work. And so, yeah, I didn't know what to do. I knew I wouldn't get to it. And then I thought, well, what if I started the recorder going and I just do it as an outcast? And that seems to be working, except for the fact that I'm trying to think and talk at the same time and not think about what I'm talking about. And so, yeah, this is an experiment, and it probably won't be repeated, but who cares? Oh, and there's one other thing I want to say after the babysitter of the month. I took the boy out. I've got two nephews, One of them is 6 and one of them is 3. And the one that is 3 looks like me. So people will sometimes think that I have produced this child. And it's weird. That's a cool feeling. I was talking to Big, or I was IMing with Big while working a few minutes ago, and he sort of made a blanket statement about people like me who don't like children. And so it's like, it's not that I don't like children. It's that I see that people have children out of control, and then their children are out of control. And how can anybody like that? But, you know, we have different points of view. His parents had 10 kids, as far as I can remember. That's a lot. So, you know, I can understand why he would be defensive about it. Anyway, maybe I don't like children. F*** them. And f*** you. But I like my nephews. And the 6-year-old particularly is fun because he tends to be into some of the stuff that I'm into. And, you know, and so that's cool. Lots of times we'll go shopping and he wants to help. You know, he's like, oh, I'll run check that aisle. I think that's neat. So we went to Walmart and he did that. He checked on some aisle and then he came back from that aisle and I noticed that his shirt was wet, like all around the stomach. And I was like, dude, how'd you get wet? What's going on? And he became really evasive. He didn't want to talk about it. And I realized that it wasn't just his shirt, but the crotch of his pants as well had gotten wet. And, you know, he'd had an accident, as they said it in my day. I wouldn't imagine you'd say that now. Again, because children are out of control and we have to coddle them. Maybe because accident is too negative. You know, it has too much negative connotation. We would hate to put anything negative out there. But anyhow, yeah, he had had an accident. And, you know, I didn't know what to say about it. What I wasn't going to do is say that he was bad or delinquent or, you know, it was embarrassing to be with him. Not that my father acted that way, but from time to time, my father acted that way. And those are the things that I remember, not the loving man that my sisters remember. So, you know, I was just like, oh, shoot. Okay, well, what does your mom usually do when this happens? Do you need to run to the bathroom now? And it's like, well, no, the horse is out of the barn. And, you know, he was evasive. And maybe his own dad smacks him in the back of the head or says, you know, that he's not a good kid if he wets himself. It sounds possible. His own father also, 11 brothers and sisters. So, you know, I'm trying to do two things at once. Shoot, why didn't I just get in the car and go for a little drive? Burn some gas. Let's destroy some fossil fuels just so that I can focus on talking to you. I said, okay, well, what should we do? And he said, well, you should get me some new pants and underwear and a shirt. And I was like, well, you know, we could just go home and then you could change into your own clothes. But he seemed to think that that would be the best thing to do. And so we went to the children's section there in Walmart and we found him a shirt and I found him some shorts. They were cheap. He's a little kid. Little kid clothes aren't expensive. I mean, I guess if you have in the double digits of these children, then maybe they are. Okay, that's the last time I'll do it. I'm sorry. But I told him, well, why do you even need underwear? We'll just buy you some shorts. You don't have to wear any underwear on them. We'll just go home and you can put some clean underwear on. And he's like, no, I don't know. I'm not his dad, so I don't know what the rules are. I don't know what's appropriate and what's not. So I said, okay, let's get some underwear too. But they don't sell underwear by itself, apparently. You have to buy a whole pack. And so I ended up buying him a whole pack of Hanes or something like that. And yeah, that's fine, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm not poor. I'm not rich, but I can afford to spend that kind of money on my nephew. Anyhow, what I told him we'd do is that I would buy the clothes separately. And then I would ring up all the rest of my purchases. And while I was doing that, he could run into the bathroom and change into the new clothes. And he could put the dirty clothes in the Walmart bag that we bought. It seemed logical. But he and the boy didn't want to go in a checkout line with a cashier. He wanted to go in the self-check lines. And you know what? That's understandable too. You know, it's embarrassing. I mean, we've all been kids. I could tell that he was embarrassed and he didn't want. Oh, I forgot a very important part of the thing. I had told him, well, what does your mom do? I had asked him, well, what does your mom do in this situation? And he said, he was evasive. And so I said, oh, well, I'll just call her and ask. And he absolutely refused. He said, please don't call my mom. Don't tell my mom. And so that made me feel bad. That made me feel sad. And I said, okay, well, she's not going to get mad at you. We could just call and find out what she would want us to do. And he said, no, don't do that. Just don't call her. And so, you know, I could understand the feelings he might have. And so I got him the clothes and said, here, you know, go change. It'll be cool. And you know, he came out and he was wearing the clothes with the tags still on him and stuff, but who cared? They were clean. They were new clothes and that. And he said, don't tell my mom. And I said, hey, look, this is no big deal. I crapped myself just last week. And that's really the punchline that if this were a blog post, we would have ended with. And my nephew said, he looked at me and he said, really? And I said, yeah, it's no big deal. Everybody does it. Afterward, I thought, maybe that wasn't the coolest thing. Maybe I should have said, you know, when you're older, that sort of stuff won't happen anymore, etc. Or, you know, you'll grow out of this, or just, you know, it's just a phase, or you just got to stick with it. You just got to, you know, pay more attention when it's time to go. Go, let the person know that you're with it. You got to go. And we, because, you know, there have been times in the past that we have run toward the bathroom because you don't want there to be an accident, especially when kids are young. Maybe they can't tie a knot in it. They've got to just go when their body tells them that it's time to go. And, you know, I think that may be one of the reasons that kids have accidents is, you know, it takes a lifetime to develop that kind of self-control. I don't know. I'm still talking. I apologize that I'm still rambling when I meant this to be a 5 or 6 minute thing. But he's a good kid. And, you know, sometimes I do expect a lot from him. I that was something that Big said during our conversation just now, is he said, you know, people expect, in fact, here's the quote. I know it can sometimes be an inconvenience for people who don't like children to have to deal with children. But sometimes I also think that it's sad that we expect children to act like little adults and not cause any trouble. Causing trouble is part of the joy of life and also a little of how we learn. Kids who don't get to act like kids are probably the ones who grow up and take Uzis to work and kill everyone. You know, I'm still in many ways a big kid. And, you know, when there are children who act like little adults, and that seems very alien to me. It's unattractive. But, the two of us, my nephew and I, tend to get along. He'll ask me all sorts of questions. I know that I am an adult in his eyes, and I have all the answers, and that seems cool. I don't know. I've derailed. I've gotten so little work done since I started talking. You know, I can learn to be more patient. Sometimes I am impatient with my nephews. Sometimes I expect them to behave just because I want them to behave. And, you know, for you people who are out there who just keep having kids and kids and kids, it creates a lot of patience in you to have to deal with the problems of one child. And then the next child has a whole new bundle of problems that you didn't anticipate the first time, but you had learned patience and adaptability and flexibility from the first kid. And so you're able to apply that to deal with these new problems. And yeah, if you have a whole ton of kids, then eventually I think you will probably become very wise and very patient and very adaptable and very flexible. Maybe not. I don't know. I really don't know how life works. I've been around for a long time, but I feel like I've been a spectator instead of a participant in a lot of life. And so I don't know how that works. What I do know is that this last month, Big and I both live blogged a short story Well, in my case, it was no. In neither of our cases, was it a short story. I think Biggs qualified as something, as a novelette, whatever the hell that is, and mine qualified as too long. No, mine qualified as a novella, nearing 25,000 words, and it was a little bit challenging, but it was also very enjoyable. And I know Big got a big kick out of doing that. And to the point where he said, I'm going to do that again. Or maybe I'll write all my stories that way. I'll write them in public and hopefully get the pressure of fans, of readers, to continue writing them. And that's cool. In fact, I think on Monday, the Monday of this recording, he's going to start his next story on there. And I should do it too. And I, as much as I enjoy blogging a story, I would rather podcast it. I would rather do what I'm doing right now and do it in audio. Now, granted, that's a lot more work than just copying and pasting from, you know, whatever you're writing in, from a MS Word file or a Google Cloud or whatever it's called. And so, you know, there's that. But I enjoy reading aloud. I enjoy recording stories, whether they're my stories or other people's stories. You know that. This is like the 10th one of these I've done, Outcasts, and that added with the one that Fake Sean Connery helps me with. I'd be probably over 20 by now, I would think. So what I was thinking would be fun would be to do a longer piece, something like the story that I did on my blog, which is called A Lovely Singing Voice. Well, also, you know, I've been influenced by Scott Sigler would podcast his books, his novels, for free in like a weekly installment. He said that it was on Sundays he would put out his show every week. And I think he said he would do one chapter or two chapters a week. And every time he would say, hey, this is available. If you want to read the rest, this thing is available already to purchase on, say, Amazon.com or some other place that I can't think of because I'm trying to work. Anyway, he made this sound like it was really lucrative for him. I almost said profitable. Lucrative is a good word. That people enjoyed getting the books for free. And because they enjoyed the books, they were willing to pay for them.
What happened to my crab in here?
Okay, then that was years ago. I have no idea.
It wasn't years ago.
It was.
I was five.
You're five now, kiddo. Come on, man. It was a long time ago.
2 years ago or 1 year ago.
I thought we lost it, didn't we?
Mm.
Anyway, I thought, wow, I could do that. I would like to do that. That sounds peachy keen, or I don't know what I thought. I mean, what I thought was I do that already. And in publishing a novella in installments on my blog, I thought I could do that with audio as well. And so I've sort of challenged myself to do that, to take a long story instead of just a short little story, and do it over three or four episodes. Unfortunately, you know, that's going to eat into the time that I have for doing other things. You know, let me rephrase. That's going to eat into the time I make for doing other things. And that's difficult. I got to knuckle down on these things that I have deadlines for. Abby's novel that I am narrating, I don't know how that I've talked about it much. That tends to be my number one priority. And I can talk about that when it comes out, but I am narrating her epic fantasy novel, Hunter's Unlucky. And it's really big. And I'm doing all the characters as though it's a full cast production. Only it's just me. I mean, that's what any good narrator should do. And they're few and far between that actually do it, but that's fine. Everybody has their own taste of what they like. But it's been a lot of work, and there's a lot more work to come. But I've put it at the top of my priority list. And every once in a while, I'll do a chapter or two of one of the other projects that I've got on my plate. But I keep going back to Hunter's Unlucky because, frankly, there is a paycheck attached to Hunter's Unlucky. And there is a ephemeral potential paycheck attached to everything else. Do you know what I mean? Do you see the difference? You know how it is. It's like you've got a full-time job. And then when you get off work, you have the things that you have to do. And when those are done, you can do the things that you want to do. And anyway, Hunter's Unlucky is really, really good. And I think that anybody that listens to the novel, the book on tape version when it comes out, will seek out other stuff that I've done, because the book is such a challenge that it requires my A game. Do you know what I mean? And so, you know, it's going to be exemplary of what I do. I've got to have all that done by October. There's some day in October when it's all due. And, you know, I haven't really looked at that because October still seems a while off. Plus, I am actively working on it every single day, whether it's recording a chapter. Now you can see, because I live with two children, that it's hard for there to be silence, and you need absolute silence on an audiobook. It's not like podcasting. It's not like Brian Lincoln once said to me that if you get into the audiobook business, you will have to be competing with people who do this for a living, people who do this in a professional environment with professional producers. And so your stuff has to sound professional because you are competing for the audience's dollar with these people who are pros, who are old pros, who are the best in the business. And that was good advice. And I know that a lot of times my sound quality isn't crystal clear. You know, at this point, I can either live with that or I can do something about it. I can build a recording studio like Renee Chambliss did, or like other people have, or I can just accept that the sound quality is never going to be perfect, but the things that I can affect are my performance, the quality of my voice, the quality of the character voices that I do. Anyhow, that is where I am right now. When I finish Abby's novel, then I can attack all these other projects that I've let fall by the wayside, but at the same time, Abby's book is 786 pages long, so it's the biggest thing that I have taken on. Once that is done, the vacuum is going to be really, really great. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, maybe I sound like a parent saying once the kid is 18 and moved out of the house, we'll be able to do all these fantastic things. Like, there won't be a million things that rush in to take the place of that child-shaped vacuum. But at the same time, you know, this is my priority, the thing that I'm doing with Abby. I've got a file open right now that I should be editing. Chapter 11, it should be editing right now, but I'm doing this instead. And you know, I'm also doing something else. Oh, guys, I'm sorry. This was meant to be like a 10-15 minute episode. And because I get so easily sidetracked, it doubled or tripled that length. No, it didn't. It's getting close. Well, anyhow, I just wanted to do the babysitter of the month, and I also wanted to talk about the possibility of podcasting a longer work, like split up into several episodes. It seems like that could be really fulfilling, that could be really rewarding. To make a long story short, I have a novelette, I think it is, that I have already recorded and edited with the intention of selling it on Audible. And that piece just sits on my hard drive because I am a worthless turd. More specifically, the only thing keeping it from being published is I don't have cover art for it. I don't know what I'm going to do on that. I think about it. Like, whenever I'm at work, I think, how fast would it be to put a cowboy hat on my nephew, take a picture, and say, that's the cover art. And if people don't like it, they never would have bought it to begin with. But I don't do that. Once I'm here, the child screaming in the other room, I could put a cowboy hat on him, or, well, I don't own any cowboy hats. But you know what I'm saying? All it would take is just the simplest cover art. Oh, geez. But I keep not doing it. I have that piece just sitting, doing nobody any good. And it would be very, very easy to just split up those recordings that are already recorded, already edited, already sound reduced and all that happy crappy. And just say, you know, for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to put out this short story. And then, you know, maybe talk a little bit afterward in each episode, say where the story came from and where you can buy it. That's a goal. That's my goal for the latter half of 2014. That's what I plan on doing. I hope that I can manage that. If you are listening and you have a way to encourage me to do that, please do so. Because I probably recorded that damned thing in November or December. Over like 2 nights I recorded it. And then, you know, edited it here and there over the last 6 months. And yeah, like I said, it's doing nobody any good. Least of all me, who wrote it. So there we go. That's my new mid-year's resolution. Thank you for listening to another Rish Outcast. We will be back with a story next time. I promise. And you have a good day until then. Or several days until then. You know how it is. Hey there. This is Rish. Once again, bending your ear. So, I recorded what you just heard, the Babysitter of the Week post, and then I was really hesitant to publish it. I think it was clear, just you could hear in my voice, you know, that in my head, it seemed like, oh, this is going to be funny and brief, and it was neither. So, it just sat. And then at the other day at work, I was thinking about, do you remember the little sketch that I wrote called The Little Talk, wherein the father sits his kid down and tells him about, you know, not the birds and the bees, the Autobots and the Decepticons. You know, at the very end, I sort of tip my hand that the dad is insane and the kid, you know, is beginning to suspect it. I didn't get any comments about that. I can't remember anybody saying that they liked it or they didn't like it. But I liked it well enough. It reminds me, I have this uncle. Well, I have a couple of uncles that are eccentric, if you will. And there was one uncle who would always be like vulgar, sort of shocking and stuff. And it, just to get a rile like out of my mom or out of my grandmother. And, I found that him to be a very colorful character because, I was surrounded by really conservative people. Among whom I was the most out there or the most irreverent. And then he would come in and I would be like, oh, okay, I didn't know. I was a church mouse. This is what this guy is. And so the dad spouting the nonsense to the kid is sort of a take on that same one of my Uncle Allie stories. And I enjoyed doing that. I don't know. I think that sort of stuff is fun. The idea of, you know, maybe a really bad parent or, you know, parent figure. And so it goes hand in hand with Babysitter of the Year. I was at work the other day and I thought it would be fun to write another one. And I believe it's called Sea Monkey Do. Jeez, that's a bad title. So in my head, it was a play on Monkey See Monkey Do. But instead it's Sea Monkey Do. So I guess it would be Sea Monkey Do Monkey. I don't know. Oh, it's ghastly. I realize that now. So maybe I'll call it something else. But go ahead and listen. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Uncle Wish, can I come in?
Oh, let me get my pants on, kiddo. Just 1 minute.
Uncle Rish?
All right. Coast is clear. What's up?
Can I have $10?
Probably. I hear the rendering plant is hiring.
Come on, I need $10 to buy something.
All right, kiddo. What is it you want to buy?
They're called sea monkeys. They're really neat.
Did you say sea monkeys, my boy?
Yes.
Do you know what sea monkeys are?
Yeah, they live in water. And they make these little castles and have...
No. No. Come over here. I'm going to tell you a little story.
Never mind. I'm okay.
No. This is something you need to hear. Sit down and listen.
Am I gonna have nightmares tonight, Uncle Rish?
Most likely. This is the tale of a very bad man by the name of Tyler. Now, old Benjamin Douglas Tyler, he was a scientist.
Oh no.
He studied nature, studied the elements, studied the extent of pain a person could tolerate before they died. He was eventually disbarred from practicing medicine after it was discovered he had made window shades out of human tongues and anal beads out of plucked out eyes.
He sounds mean.
Oh, you don't know the half of it. Once he lost his medical license, Tyler suddenly had extra time on his hands. And that meant torture and despair for the boys and girls of South Boston. You see, Doc Tyler loved to hear children suffering. And he would have bathed in, subsisted on, and douched with the tears of little ones if he had had his messed up druthers.
Why?
That's a good question, kiddo. One for theologians or mathematics professors, rather than an unemployed ex-telegraph studies major like myself. All I know is, in his later years, Benji Tyler cooked up a scheme even more horrifying than the pillowcase made of foreskins he was famous for.
No more.
He figured that there was nothing that produced more tears in more children than disappointment, than heartbreak.
What about pain? Paper cuts are really bad.
Oh yeah. You want to hear about paper cuts? Once, Doc Tyler caught these twin boys, and he took...
Never mind.
Anyway, he wanted to hurt children. Not just the ones in his borough or neighboring villages, but everywhere. So he hatched a soulless scheme so diabolical that Satan himself had to look away in shame. Sea monkeys. He would sell brine shrimp eggs in a kit, then spin outrageous lies about what they would turn into, with fanciful artwork and frolicking cartoon families in mermaid cities cavorting to the delight of boys and girls everywhere. And it sold like hotcakes, like wildfire, like hotcakes in a wildfire. Not hundreds, but thousands of children discovered disappointment and regret in those worthless, colorful boxes. Millions! Every time a sea monkey's set sells in a store or comic book or online, pay attention, and you can hear old Doc Tyler's perverted laughter echoing from the great beyond.
But Uncle Rich, didn't he go to jail? Or did he get hanged for what he did?
I'm afraid not. Benji Tyler choked to death on his own baby entrails, not long after the nation caught sea monkey fever. He's buried in a posh hillside cemetery overlooking old historic Boston. And every year they have to replace the headstone because of all the vandalism and people who travel across the nation just to poo on it.
Yuck.
He died a millionaire, and the Sea Monkey Heartbreak Enterprise Incorporated is worth nearly $1 billion. So there's always money for a new headstone and that big bronze statue of a crying child. Maybe someday I'll take you there on a little field trip. If you do poorly in school and keep on watching Cartoon Network. So, my boy, do you still want to buy sea monkeys?
Nah. I'll just get some candy cigarettes.
That a boy. Okay, so that was my untitled follow-up sketch to The Little Talk. This one... Listen, there's no such thing as an Optimus Prime or a Megatron in real life. But there is such a thing as sea monkeys. The worst,
most nefarious scam of children, at least until Pokemon cards, I guess, came about. But, you know, I don't even have words for how much I hate sea monkeys, for how much I hate the lies of the ad campaign and the fact that they trick children who are believing in such things, who are too young to know that what's depicted in an advertisement or a comic book ad or the box itself is not what's inside. A lot of times you'll see this stuff on commercials now where they have to put a disclaimer, most famously in Toy Story, not a flying toy. That stuff is put there because of lawyers, because people have been sick of being screwed around with by these advertising campaigns, and they've taken it to the absolute nth degree in this 21st century, to the point where you'll see like cars doing loops in Acura commercials, and it will say do not attempt, and it'll say do not attempt on stuff like a guy turning back to quiet his kid while he's driving, all because of the fucking lawyers. So in my mind, I thought it would be funny if there was a man who was responsible for that, and that he was some sort of boogeyman. You know, one of those stories you tell to scare children. I don't know. I have no kids, and it's unlikely I will ever be a father. And so it's sort of fun to try different kinds of parenting in stories, or in sketches, which is what this is. And sea monkeys are just really, they're the worst thing. I think, you know, once they cured polio, sea monkeys swooped in there to fill the void for destroying the dreams of children. Anyway, yes, I mean, I'll be frank. It's just one joke repeated again and again, beaten into the ground. And I make no apologies for that. That's what it is. You know, Saturday Night Live does that. And I'm fine with doing it myself. I don't know if there will be more sketches like these. They're easy to do. It's fun to bring my nephew in and have him voice them. Although I think on the little talk, I originally had me do that voice. And then I thought it would be fun to bring my nephew in and have him do that character, just because it would bring it more verisimilitude, I guess. And so, you know, as long as I can get him to do voices, I think it comes out stronger having an actual child. It's not easy to get a child to act. It's easier to get a child to act for a podcast than for a video or, you know, a movie, I guess. But anyway, that's that. I just didn't want it to be a wasted episode with no story. So, good night again.
The music in today's episode was presented by Kevin MacLeod of the website Incompetech.com. The Rish Outcast is presented under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives license. That license enables you to share the file with anyone, but not to charge for it or alter it. It doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon.
Wait, what was it again?
Uncle Rish, can I come in?
Uncle Rish.
Why are you laughing?
Uncle Rish, can I come in?
Just stand there. You don't have to touch the mic.
Uncle Rish, can I come in?
Please don't.
Oh, this is so funny.
Hey, please, it's not funny. You're the straight man. Come on.
Okay. Okay. I remember it. Uncle Rish, please, can I come in?
Even more horrifying than the pillowcase. Even more horrifying.
Am I going to have nightmares tonight, Uncle Rish? Am I going to have nightmares on this night, Rish? right now. What? Do it again.